sip. Let's tune into Brad and Britt.
It is the Brad and Britt cast. We're glad you're with us here as we go to press. It is another one of these primary days across several states in the South only. And I think we, by the way, I sent you a message at 11:02 on Tuesday morning because I was at the gym and I was on the machines.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the TVs are up there. And the one on ABC, of course, that's where that show The View comes on. And I saw the graphic for Kellyanne Conway coming up this hour, which, of course, as you can imagine, really excited me.
Sure.
Got me very excited.
You had to step away and go to the bathroom for just a moment to adjust yourself.
So I wanted to message you just in case, you know, you had nothing to do, because I believe you even said on our previous Brad and Britt cast, you couldn't wait to see her out there hawking the book. Right now, I'll give you a brief summation of what she said in two different segments. She lied. She avoided. She's full of shit.
Uh-huh.
She did not answer the question. Oh, I'm sorry. It's just Kellyanne. It's just what she does. It's just what she does. So, go watch it or look at the transcript or see if Mediaite puts up a thing. I mean, it got into a complete screaming match, of course, when you have her on as a guest and you've seen her she knows the game, and her game is to just keep talking, just keep, never stop, and force the hosts to stop you by saying, you have to stop, Kelly, or we're not going to continue this. And then, of course, the hosts suck, and Kellyanne is the victim. That's the game she plays.
Of course.
That's what she did.
There's one of the media headlines. Whoopi Goldberg chastises the View crowd for booing Kellyanne.
Okay, I'm sorry. The media should be shut down, okay? Because that is the least. If you had asked me 50 things that happened during that, that's fake courtesy by Whoopi Goldberg, because the crowd responded exactly how, if Whoopi Goldberg could respond as the crowd, she wouldn't have just booed. She would have thrown tomatoes at her. So that if that's their take,
I think exposing Whoopi Goldberg, who's been in, you know, a billion comedy clubs and has seen people get booed off stage. All of a sudden, Kellyanne's going to get her feelings hurt for getting booed by a New York audience?
Yeah.
And
why was she getting booed? Because she was lying. And I didn't take notes or anything because I was on a machine and then I was in my car.
Yeah.
You know, the one with the broken windshield. And there are many versions of an answer that Trumpers give, even now, when they are asked the most important question, would you vote for Donald Trump again? Do you think that he could be a good president again? And then there's the one that really there's only one real answer to, unless you suck. A lot of people suck. Was the 2020 election fairly decided?
Mm-hmm.
Was there chicanery? Was Donald Trump ripped off? What about the 2020 election? What do you say? And Kellyanne Conway's answer was, well, Joe Biden is the president.
That's not an answer. That's not the answer.
We didn't ask whether Joe Biden was the president. We know Biden is the president. But
eyes and ears and everything.
You are feeding the grievance crowd of, Biden's the president, but he shouldn't be. Biden's the president, but he cheated. Biden's the president, and Trump was cheated. So, to me, I wouldn't buy that. I wouldn't spend a dime for that. If you fucking get the audio over, if you dare,
no,
we're done.
I wouldn't touch it.
We're out.
There's like six. I haven't.
That's going to be the line.
I would get the Bill Barr or the Mark Esper version of that thing before I would get hers. I would never. That's so stupid. And she doesn't even really. Here's the other story from the Kellyanne Conway and Alyssa Farragut in a heated spat. That is such a cheap shot.
Yeah. I will tell you, and you know, I'm no fan of Alyssa Farah, but you know, she did jump off the Trump train.
Yeah.
Fully. She's fully jumped off the Trump train. So we always give some credit there. Because it's easier not to do that. And, you know, she did hold her own pretty well. And, of course, it's difficult to hold your own against someone who is a serial practice rhetorical liar like Kellyanne Conway. But she did. And I'm sure they've got a clip up there. But so be it. That's the end of that. Okay.
Well, always the game, as you pointed out, is to make her look like she's being picked on by these women. So I need to go out and buy this book. I need to go to Amazon. I need to go wherever, and I got to buy this book.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you are going to buy this shitty book, make sure you buy it through shop.bradandbit.com. I can't stop you from doing that. But if you're going to waste your money and throw it away, at least let us get a piece of it at shop.bradandbit.com.
That's a good way to look at it. All right. I got a list here. I got a list here. And by the way, for folks who might not have caught it, on the previous Brad and Britcast, I do have, and this relates to Georgia being in the barrel today, the top Donald Trump excuses for when his chosen candidate for the Republican nomination for governor in Georgia, David Perdue, gets trounced. And remember the parameters of this, because, of course, we know the person who relies on a poll the day before an election to assume it's going to automatically end up that way could have some egg on their face. And by the way, the eggs at the Waffle House, of which there are many in Georgia, pretty good. I like the way they do it.
Sure.
What's your favorite Waffle House item, Britt?
Well,
I like their hash browns. I'm a good their hash browns. Browns are pretty good.
Here's a fun: you either get the hash browns, they're either country style, or you have the chili poured on top of it. If you ever have the chili poured on top of it, it's magnifique.
Okay,
it's fantastic. It's also, you know, an artery clogger and like a thing you get when you just got out of prison. Just go to Waffle House, get the hash browns the way you want them, and you get the chili dunked or a gravy. The gravy's good as well, country gravy.
All right, so the polls was like 25 points or so difference between Brian Kemp, who turned his back on Donald Trump, by the way, and didn't help him win Georgia, and David Perdue. I'm worth $3 billion. I have nothing left to do with my life, so I'm going to start running for office and be the shittiest candidate in the history of candidates. Oh, I'll become a senator for one term, but that's not going to matter. I suck, and I've been revealed to suck. What a great choice. So it's about a 25-point gap. So if Brian Kemp only wins by 10 or 15, Trump will declare victory, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's one game that he plays. But he could pull out his long-tested list of excuses to try to avoid association with a loser. Donald Trump excuses for David Perdue when he gets trounced in Georgia on Tuesday. Never liked him. Never heard of him. Total disgrace. Low energy. Never met him. A complete disaster. Never endorsed him, even though he did, of course. He'll deny that he ever endorsed him, right? No charisma. Not very bright. Or he'll point to his overall record and he'll say, I'm 83-6 or something like that. You know, that's what he'll do. He'll try to slough it off. But that being said, I don't think it means, oh, well, that's the end of Donald Trump. We'll never hear from him again. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way when he endorses a winner that he's infallible. And it doesn't work that way in this particular case because he's clearly got a thing with the state of Georgia, doesn't he? Because he knows what he did there in 2020.
Yeah.
Made Chuck Schumer the majority leader of the Senate. He knows that.
And again, rewinding history, not only did he fuck up and lose his own race in Georgia, He then insisted on going down and making an appearance that fucked up both of those Senate races,
resulting in Chuck Schumer getting the big job.
And we're seeing, I think the bigger issue is we're seeing possibly a preview of that North Carolina Senate race this fall, because we're seeing some pretty racist comments come out against the presumptive Democratic nominee Stacey Abrams. David Perdue making racist remarks about Stacey Abrams. Now, what Ms. Abrams had said at a speech was Georgia was the worst place to live in America.
Out of context, Britt, don't say it that way. Don't do that.
That is the out of context remark that she made, which was jumped on. I have to tell you, can you see the picture of him sitting with that guy right there? Do you see the picture on your screen, Brad?
Yeah.
That man is named John Fredericks. And he is a huge, massive, unbelievable right-wing talk show host whom you've never heard of, correct?
Right.
He calls himself the Godzilla of Truth. I want to show you the landing spot for his website because it damn near looks like a parody of far right-wing bullshit. Look at what he's got there. Look what you got on the landing spot when you go to his website.
Okay. Yeah.
There's an eagle either ready to attack and kill Nancy Pelosi or taking a shit on top of the American flag, and some beatific, looks like a heavenly sort of Da Vinci-esque cloud separating in heaven thing. And then there's John Fredericks, who looks like a dumpy guy, dumpy suburban guy who would never wear Birkenstocks if his life depended on it. And then there's a microphone. That's the show that they were on, that Mr. Perdue was on when he made the remarks. Right. Stacey Abrams should maybe go back where she came from. If she thinks Georgia is the worst place to live, maybe she should go back to where she came from.
All right. Now, may I add the color and context to the statement so that you realize that to even give oxygen to that comment out of context is so it's what's wrong with America. It's what's wrong with politics. It's racism at its worst. It's beyond discussion. But guess what? It works. Mm-hmm. We know it works. Okay. Mm-hmm. I get that, because we have a lot of low information voters out there. A lot of them who don't pay attention to the news. And here we go. Stacey Abrams, who will get the Democratic nomination, right?
She's the presumptive nominee. That is what we call her.
There's nobody running against her. She is the nominee. Okay. I'm not even going to use the word presumptive. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless she has a John Fetterman like incident today medically and doesn't start to recover. Okay. Other than that, you know, she's the Democratic nominee. And she says, and this is reported by NBC, here you go. I am tired of hearing about being the best state in the country, meaning Georgia, to do business when we're the worst state in the country to live. When you're number 48 for mental health, when you're number one for maternal mortality, when you have an incarceration rate that's on the rise and wages that are on the decline, then you are not the number one place to live in the United States. But we can get there. Georgia is capable of greatness. We just need greatness to be in our governor's office. So they took the Republicans and Fox News and David fucking Perdue, the phrase, we are the worst state in the country to live, and said, Stacey Abrams hates Georgia. Why doesn't she go back to where she came from? Well, let's analyze that. Stacey Abrams was not born in Georgia. She was born in some other state and moved there in high school, okay? Which means she's probably been in Georgia about 35 years, about the same amount of time I've lived in, that's right, North Carolina. So I guess if I ran for office here in North Carolina, some asshole would say to me, why don't you go back to where you came from? That would mean probably Ohio, since I was born in Ohio. But when you say it about Stacey Abrams in that context, that's not what he meant, okay? That was a fuck you N-word, go back to Africa.
That's right.
Go back to Africa where you came from, okay?
That's correct.
And have you, Britt, am I wrong about this? Have you heard anybody say that?
No.
Translate it correctly? Why won't they do that?
I don't know. But over the years, this has become, I go back to Africa. I mean, that was a very open, I wouldn't even say that was like an underground thing to say to black people who were criticizing America during the civil rights era. And when people were having hoses turned on them and stuff like that, there were a lot of white people that were saying, go back to Africa. But you don't like it here, go back to Africa.
Think about how that was turned around in the broadest sense. The phrase African Americans is a self-described label that black folks adopted decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're really racist, David Perdue, why don't you say that? Well, she's African American. She's had enough time in America and she hates Georgia. How about going back to Africa? Do you have a passport to go to the? Who was it that said that? Who thought that Africa was a country? Didn't somebody gaff on that once? Yeah, so somebody gaffed on that.
But there's it's also like, I don't know about Stacey Abrams' specific family members, but there are a lot of people of African-American descent where their family didn't really have the choice in coming to America. See, they didn't just go on vacation and go, I think we'll settle here in Florida. It's really nice here.
That's so ridiculously true that, of course, it doesn't need to be stated. But the fact that someone would bring that up at this hour, it's
the go back to Africa thing is absolutely 100% in play. What you said, but wait, I want to ask you about what she said, and when you give it proper context, it makes perfect sense. Weren't you on the train with the Joe Biden? Said, don't give them the headline. Don't give them the T-shirt. Don't give them the thing that they're going to take out of context and run around the block with. And that's kind of what she did.
I understand that, but this is taking it. No, I'm not going to blame. I'm not going to blame the quote victim here. There's a little bit more. And you ready? What could be the most vicious charge you could ever lob at a politician in this country? It's this one. David Perdue in the direction of Stacey Abrams. Ready? The only thing she wants is to be president of the United States.
Oh.
Can you believe it?
Oh, dear God.
Oh, my. Can you imagine someone wanting to be?
That's terrible.
So when she told black farmers, this is Perdue, you don't need to be on the farm. You don't need to be working in a lousy factory for bad wages. This is Perdue. She is demeaning her own race when it comes to that. Britt, I hate to do this, and I don't know whether you can set this up. Can you get Strom Thurmond in here to talk about this?
Are you busy right now, sir? I know that you're eating some boiled peanuts. Sure. Come on, let me get you situated here.
Is the machine on?
It's on.
Hello, Brad and Britt. You are. I am glad David Perdue is telling black people how to feel about themselves. They don't know when they're being demeaned. Thank God for David Perdue to tell black people how to be demeaned, how to feel.
Yeah. Strom, let me get this correct here. David Perdue was probably referring to comments made by Stacey Abrams back in 2018, when, according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, she told voters she wanted to, quote, create lots of different jobs because people shouldn't have to go into agriculture or hospitality. That's being a waiter. That is working as a cook. That is working in the restaurant industry. Shouldn't have to do that in Georgia to make a living. Why not create renewable energy jobs? Well, I don't know whether it's one or the other, but okay, I get it. So David Perdue turned that into whatever he was saying.
The Stacey Abrams economic plan makes it. So who's going to get Strom Thurmond's coffee? Who's going to make Strom Thurmond's sandwich? Who's going to carry Strom Thurmond's golf clubs? Stacey Abrams should go to hell.
Yeah, Strom, who does Strom Thurmond's laundry?
Yeah, who's going to wash my drawers? This is a terrible economic plan from somebody that does not understand economics.
Yep. Hey, you know what? And I know I might talk about this with Britt later on, but you're as good a person to talk about this as anybody. We're talking about Georgia politics on primary day Tuesday, and over on the U.S. Senate side, Herschel Walker.
Yeah.
Herschel Walker appears to be on his way to becoming the Republican nominee to run against Reverend Warnock. Reverend Warnock, who has, of course, been in the office for just, a year and a half or so, because it was a special election in 2020 when he won alongside. He was the Twin Towers with John Ossoff, who's in for a six-year term. I know you're a big football fan. You're a big Southeastern Conference football fan, of course, from your days in South Carolina. Wasn't South Carolina in the SEC at one point, or in the ACC? What conference did they get tossed out of?
Atlantic Coast Conference, and Dean Smith kicked them out, and then they was in the Metro Conference and finally settled where they belong in Southeastern Conference. Let me ask you this. How many rushing yards did Raphael Warnock ever had when he was in college? How many times did he take the ball from Buck Ballou and run it in the end zone? Zero times. 0 yards. Herschel Walker, one of the goals he's credit to his race.
I don't know what you said, but it sounded like you had a lot of passion with it. I don't know what it was, but I like it.
Herschel Walker is credit to his race. Is what he is. Raphael Warnock ain't never cared no football one time.
Okay. Oh, so, right. So being a great football player is a great credential to be a United States Senator, is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. That's why Herschel Walker, we spoil him all the way around. And I just want to remember how Strong Thurmond, people say I'm racist, I don't still for a black man. Remember during the Clarence Thomas hearing how I stuck up for the black man? Remember that?
Remind me of what happened.
There was accusations about Anita Hill, who, by the way, she could get it, as the kids say, had been inappropriately acted upon by Judge Thomas. And I was chairman of the Judicial Committee. I did not let that nonsense go on. Thanks to Sean Thurmond.
I believe during those hearings, didn't you use the phrase pecan pie?
I did. That was where the phrase "this machine on" came from, because I called the microphone a machine. In any case, I stood for a black man, called myself for a black man. We can now protect the babies. We can now protect the baby, because Strom Thurmond died in his 15,000th trimester. Every baby should be given that opportunity. Every single one in America.
Strom, being the foremost expert on racial relations in this country, because you had relations really with all races.
All races. Every race.
I'd like you to comment on this story. It has to do with Walmart. Last year, in 2021, Juneteenth made its debut as a federal holiday. Parades, concerts, artwork, all kinds of thing that day commemorates the end of slavery in America. This is June 19th. So Walmart came out with a special celebration edition Juneteenth ice cream, okay, to celebrate that day. It's not going over all that well. Here's an open letter from an important group that monitors these kinds of things. Would you launch an ice cream called January 27th? That's the day the world remembers the Holocaust. Okay, that was Roy Wood Jr., I think, from The Daily Show. But you get the point. What do you think of that that move by Walmart? Are you on Walmart's side? Do you think this was a good idea or not?
I love Juneteenth because it has scantily clad black women dancing and celebrating. That is a good time for Strom Thurmond. The one that I was trying to celebrate was the day of Abraham Lincoln's assassination. I was trying to get an ice cream flavor from Walmart that tasted like joy and euphoria, but they would never go for it.
Well, hang on here. There's more. They're launching a celebration edition flavor for Pride Month in June to give a nod to the LGBTQ community. So Walmart, they've got you covered here.
Maybe y'all want to talk to Jesse Helms about that one. He's probably not going to be happy about that one.
Probably not. Probably not. Hey, when's the last time you talked to Jesse?
Calls the other night. He started going off. It turns out he was like, I was probably a little bit too hard on them gay people. I might have been a little bit too hard on them. And now he says this new ice cream to celebrate LGBTQ, it's going to taste like the San Francisco bathhouse. Some things never change.
How do you know what that takes? I guess it's not important. Strom, it's great to talk to you. Thank you for jumping in here at the last moment. We know it's a busy day for you, as it always is, right?
God bless the South. God bless black women everywhere. God bless America. And Brad and Britt, you are Cratch Hill Community.
Thank you. Thank you. Strom Thurmond on the Brad and Britt cast. Walmart. Hey, I got a good one here. I think one of the most entertaining little clips of the last 25 years is that moment in the 2008 campaign when, without trying to trip her up, without trying to trick her, Katie Couric was doing a walk-along with Sarah Palin and asked her, what do you read? What, you know, how do you get your information? And her answer was all of them. What books do you read? All of them. What newspapers? All of them. Because she obviously doesn't read anything. So here we are all these years later. And she's trying to nail down the one congressional seat in Alaska. That guy, Don Young, who'd been in office, I believe, since Rutherford B. Hayes. I mean, he was there forever.
Right.
He kicked the can. So they're fighting for his job. And she was questioned by something called the Alaska News Source. They asked her, and this is right now, what is the last book you've read? Here's Sarah Palin's answer. The Book of Esther.
The Book of Esther. There's people that read the Bible every day that have never read the Book of Esther. No, wait a minute. The Book of Esther, wasn't that a spinoff from the Sanford and Son show? Isn't that what that was?
Aunt Esther?
You old fish-eyed fool.
Was that LaWanda Page?
That was the great LaWanda Page.
You know, she just died, I think, pretty recently. Yeah, she lived a long time.
She and Don Young died in each other's arms, as it turns out. It's very, very interesting story.
Yeah. What else do I got on the list here?
LaWanda Page died recently, 20 years ago.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean.
She did die this century.
There you go. Stop it, because next thing you're going to do is name some other elderly black actress who just died and then accuse me of you know, lumping them on. So don't do that.
You can't do that. It's not right.
Do not do that. All right.
Book of Esther.
Sometimes you got to break some china to make your point. There's that one. John Fetterman medical checkup story is, I think, pretty important, pretty interesting. Which one do you want?
Let's do Fetterman.
China or the Fetterman? We'll do Fetterman?
Yeah.
All right. So you know what's going on here up in Pennsylvania. John Fetterman, who looks either like Uncle Fester, guy on the, you know, one of Rick Scott, right, or other scary people in movie history.
He looks like one of those guys. He looks like he walked off the set of Storage Wars or Pawn Stars. I'm not sure which one of those. That's what he looks like.
Yeah. He looks like that guy. Anyway, he had a stroke last Friday.
Yeah.
Right. Two Fridays ago, right before the Pennsylvania primary last Tuesday. And nobody knew about it. They didn't say a word about it. They just said he was sick. They faked it. They fudged it. They hedged it. Then they finally came out and said he did have a little mini stroke and he's fine. And then we find out, they put a defibrillator thing in his heart. Anyway, bottom line. They tried to cover up as much as they could. And this is a disaster waiting to happen if this doesn't become more transparent very, very quickly. Because think about what could happen in Pennsylvania if Fetterman goes by the wayside. Okay. you know, you could automatically get either Dr. Oz or the hedge fund guy, depending on how they decide that. If Fetterman drops for some reason, and I'm not saying drops dead, but maybe couldn't, for whatever reason, whoever would step in and be the Democratic nominee would be at a tremendous disadvantage for a lot of reasons that are kind of obvious. And it might put Oz or McCormick into the U.S. Senate from Pennsylvania. But isn't it amazing, Britt? I mean, we've been around long enough to see this movie how many different times where politicians have some kind of ego thing, I don't know what it is, about their health, that they just can't be honest with it. I mean, this is not one of these cases where, my husband, he hasn't been to the doctor in 20 years, and, oh, look, they finally... You don't get to do that when you're a political candidate for a major office. Oh, excuse me, unless you're Trump. Okay, we know.
Oh, you also have to have a Dr. Ronnie Jackson in there saying he's the most fine and fit specimen in the history of humanity.
Right, right. But, you know, he kind of disappeared off the radar, you know, two Fridays ago, and nobody heard from him. And I'm not quite sure why this wasn't blown out of the water big time when it happened by the Pennsylvania media that should have been all over this. But they kind of let it slide all the way through the weekend leading up to the election. And now it's a mess. He's out of the hospital. They're saying he's going to make a complete recovery. But they're not saying when he's going to return to campaigning. And so the last thing that Democrats need, just in the main, is the Pennsylvania Senate race, which is well within reach to flip that seat. Pat Toomey is retiring, Republican. This could be not an easy flip, but a likely flip, depending on which crazy Republican gets the nomination. And to lose that advantage over this, you know, it's not quite as absurd as what happened in North Carolina 2 years ago when the Democratic nominee for Senate kind of had it in the bag. He was going to win, Cal Cunningham. And then, you know, he started jacking off on his phone to some chick in Hawaii or whatever the hell. What did he do? I don't even remember what he did.
He met with the woman and stuff. I mean, I think it was Cal's first brush with any kind of fame. So, like, the first woman that he possibly thought he could use his fame to get laid with, he did. And,
well, then that's an excuse. That was a good excuse.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I'm okay with it. And I think the Fetterman campaign, the Fetterman campaign was giving the illusion of transparency. That's why I think they came out, they said some things, but as you say now, they were not completely candid. But they were like, well, he's trying to come out and he looks like he's telling the truth about this, so that'll be fine. And now it's the illusion of transparency.
Right. So 1 week ago, as we speak, that'll be the 17th, we're on the 24th here, he had a pacemaker and a defibrillator implanted in his heart. Yeah. Now, that's not the normal treatment for a stroke, is it? That's for heart disease.
Well, there's two ways to have a stroke.
Yeah.
One is associated with high blood pressure where it makes, you know, I'll give you some medical terms. It makes the arteries in your brain pop. And the other one is the way that he did it, which is he has AFib and he formed a clot. The clot was thrown into his brain and he had a stroke. Those are the two major ways to have a stroke. And I will just go ahead and reveal this now. I know this because I was diagnosed with AFib a few weeks ago and I'm on a blood thinner now. I have essentially the same condition that this guy has. So I'm at risk for a stroke and I have to thin my blood out. Or, as I've said before, this guy's a whole year older than me. So
Wait a second. Here's the point. Did he know this? Did he realize that he may have had this condition? I mean, he didn't go from being a world-class athlete 2 weeks ago to having this completely unpredictable medical event.
Yeah, I don't know.
And he does, I hate to say this, just seeing his demeanor and the way he conducts himself, he does seem like he could be the kind of guy who hasn't been to a doctor in 25 years.
That may be the case.
Because, you know, he's the lieutenant governor right now. He's already won a statewide election in Pennsylvania. And I would think, this is just me, that if I had political ambitions for the future and I'd already proven myself and had become the lieutenant governor of Pennsylvania, and I'm sure he was thinking even before that about becoming the governor or maybe even higher office than that, or as David Perdue might say, he only dreams about being president. Okay. And remember, when you become a senator, you're one of 100 people who all think they should be the president, but that's a different, what I'm saying is if he would have been getting regular medical care, regular typical checkups that you get if you can afford it or you have decent insurance and you're of that age and you're going to a doctor, they would have told him long ago, you need to do this here. Maybe you need some high blood pressure medicine, whatever it is that you take, and maybe you should lose some weight. And if you're slim and trim, I hate to say this, but look at fucking Mike Pompeo. Mike Pompeo intentionally lost weight because he wants to run for president. I'm not saying Mike Pompeo is a role model or a hero, but he realized that the way things are right now, he probably didn't want to be the object of editorial cartoons the rest of his life if he did run and become a guy looking like he did. So he got it done.
I mean, I can't say
it's not fair to beat up Fetterman for that, but you know, you got to think that way.
I can't say much about what Fetterman does or whatever if he's been to the doctor. I mean, over the past 4 years, I've been taking my health a lot more seriously. And I had been through a number of tests and gone to a bunch of, gone to the doctor several times. I had a cardiogram thing done on my heart. I hadn't been diagnosed with AFib up until about a month ago. And now I have an appointment with a cardiologist this summer. So I don't know if he's been taking his health very seriously. I couldn't tell you if he takes his
heart.
I
can tell you. Look at him, Britt. Look at him.
That's not fair. That is unfair. That is not fair.
It's not unfair.
Because my joke was better. If he takes his fashion as seriously as he takes his health, we're in big trouble. You know, because 1987 gym coach, I don't think is exactly going to make it. But no, I couldn't tell you if he's been to the doctor a lot. If he didn't, I
can't.
I don't know.
I know he hasn't. I know.
I don't know if he's one of those guys that never works out. And he just, he's got the Donald Trump diet. There's another one, Brad. How does John Fetterman have a stroke, but Donald Trump doesn't? Holy shit, all he does is stuff fucking fried chicken and Big Macs into his face. That guy should throw a clot, for God's sake.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's your break some China story?
Oh, well, it's been 2 days. It's been 2 days since the president, who I believe is now back in the United States, or he's about to come back here, said in answering a question about what will we do if China makes a move on Taiwan, would we use military force? Would we get militarily involved? That was the way the question was posed, militarily involved, not use force or put boots on the ground. And Biden answered very quickly and unapologetically, yes, we would. It turns out, of course, this is not the first time he said that. It's the third time he said that. But in a never-ending search to prove that Joe Biden is five levels below babbling and drooling, that's supposedly a gaffe that proves he doesn't know what he's talking about and doesn't know where he is. And I think that's wrong. I think he knew exactly what he wanted to say, and he said it briefly and succinctly, and I think it accomplishes exactly what he wants to have accomplished. Keeping in mind that, again, hate to do this as the baseline here, if China had made a move on Taiwan while Trump is president, you think we would have done anything? No. You know that.
Well, I can go with
you. You know that.
Brad, I can only go with you so far to somehow say that Joe Biden has the strategic mind that releases information and it hits the mark. I can't go that far. I think he said what he said, but I also think that you've seen the stories from the White House communication staff. It's like the kid that moves his plate around the table. You're struggling to try to mop up the milk that he spills all the time. I don't think that he said anything that was so bad or anything like that, but there are times when they have to go back behind him and kind of go, well, it's not exactly like no, that.
I'm going with three-level chess on this one, which is, hang on, I'm going with three-level chess on this. Number one, the, quote, White House staff that did clean up on aisle four for this, they knew that Biden would say this, and they knew that they would do this, and then it would look like, right, that he, quote, didn't really mean what he said. The Chinese could pretend to be outraged, knowing full well that except for the 4 years of Donald Trump, that they could not, should not, and would not make a military move on Taiwan. And we had this strategy of strategic ambivalence, or whatever it was called, where you knew we were going to come to the defense of Taiwan. And with Ukraine in our back pocket, in a sense, in terms of, yes, we did come to the aid of a country that was being attacked for no reason except they exist as a democracy, Ukraine. We came to their defense and are arming them to the teeth to the best of our ability, and we marshaled the rest of Europe together behind us, exactly the opposite of what Trump was doing, trying to split the whole world apart and make the United States great again on its own. Biden has done that, and that isn't all accidental shit by a senile old guy. It's deliberate. And just like, and I think we previously mentioned this, some other Biden gaffes, including his famous gay marriage gaffe of 10 years ago.
Correct.
Which, by the way, ended up resulting in the Supreme Court saying that gay marriage was legal. Remember, that was the worst gaffe ever. Oh, well, Obama's going to have to. Oh, what's Obama going to do? You know what?
Let's not pretend that there was any strategy involved in that. For God's sake.
But remember, so hang on. So it was let Reagan be Reagan. Donald Trump, I love him because he says what he thinks. He's unfiltered and he talks just like me. But if Joe Biden says anything, it's he's a doddering old fool who doesn't know what he's saying.
And I'm okay.
I just don't buy it.
I'm perfectly fine with Joe Biden. I love Joe Biden. I'd vote for him again, but he does this stuff. And it's either endearing or maddening to you, depending on, you know, if you're working in the White House communications office. I'm sorry, but no, there's no strategy. It's like the cat that falls off of the counter and then he pretends that it meant to do that. I think it's fine. I think what he said was okay. And I don't think it's really that much of a clutch the pearls moment, but some people were acting like that. Sure, I'll give you that.
All right. Well, we'll see what else is left here on the list. Sarah Palin. That's it. That's all I got. I'm done. I'm cleaned out.
Biden is set to have, he got some reforms coming up because it's the second anniversary of the killing of George Floyd. And there is a new book, I think it's either coming out or is out. They had an excerpt of it in the Washington Post, and it goes through kind of George Floyd's last day. Very interesting. I don't know. That event seems like it was either 1,000 years ago or it was yesterday. It's one of those things, right?
Well, I think Charles Blow has already written a column about it or something that already the whole George Floyd completely forgotten by now.
Do you buy that? Gone. Are you on? Do you buy what he said?
Yeah, I do. Sadly, well, forgotten by most of America. Okay.
Yeah.
By much of America, by too many Americans, and then when it's brought up, it can be brought up in the most inappropriate ways, which is, George Floyd was killed and they rioted. That's what they do. They rioted. Was that worth it? And that was worse than the January 6th, and nobody talks about that. Sadly, that's I think, what's happened to it.
There's a phrase that can be thrown. It's mostly among white America. And it's definitely among politicians. If you get this either in a whisper campaign or if it's somehow said that you are not supportive of law enforcement, that's hard to get out from under. That's an ugly, ugly slur. And that one is thrown around rather casually.
Well, I think you use too many words. All you have to do is say defund the police. The Democrats have still yet to get out from underneath that idiotic phrase. Just it's just beyond stupidity for all the reasons that we know. So it isn't, well, Democrats just aren't supportive enough of the police. Republicans are for law and order. No, it's some idiot somewhere said three words, defund the police, and it got hung around the necks of every Democratic politician. But to be fair, and hopefully to completely overrun that, will be every politician is going to have to answer, who's a Republican, as to why you are supportive of the government telling women what they can do with their bodies.
People aren't going to make that connection.
I'm not making the connection between the two, but I'm saying which is really going to be more powerful in the next few months, because, you know, we've had a lull here, and it's possible now that we're going to get the ruling next Monday. Yeah. Or the Monday, I think they release all their rulings on Mondays. You know, we're running out of time here. Okay, it's got to be in June. So,
but going back to George Floyd, I think there was like a Starbucks somewhere that said to some police officers, "We don't want you here because it's making our customers nervous," and that has extrapolated into a whisper campaign that the entire Starbucks, every franchise, doesn't support law enforcement.
Of course, that's like a perfect example of nothing becoming something. I mean,
absurd. As it turns out, I know a lot of cops that go to Starbucks and drink coffee in uniform. As it turns out, I mean, hate
it. But you can't answer that with an anecdote, okay?
It seems like
go to Starbucks.
It's not really anecdotal. I think it's also very widespread. But you know, these things, if you throw that at a white guy, you know, he really doesn't support law enforcement. It's hard to crawl out from under that in any way, shape, or form. And that's what you deal with. Biden's reforms are going to create a database of cops that have been fired for misconduct, which I'm sure is going to be fought by the various unions and so on and so forth. And he will be seen as trying to make it harder for cops to do their job. I would expect the truth from Donald Trump to be coming out in about 5 seconds about how Joe Biden wants cops to be killed. I would hope that would be coming out within no time at all. So, yeah, the George Floyd thing.
My question is, how come there isn't – we need to do a lot of national stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This whole state thing, it seemed like a good idea when they started the country, but there's a lot of shit. And I can't – at this point, the next person that uses the excuse when something stupid happens in a state or – all politics is local. No, it isn't. All politics is now national.
Should be.
Okay? All politics is national. Is what's going on in Georgia just about Georgia? Fuck no. Hell no.
Well,
it's about what's going on all over the country.
I would just tell you that in the 2 years since George Floyd has died, I mean, look at what happened in the National Football League. God, we have to get these guys to stop kneeling during that. What can we do? We'll put in racism in the end zone. We'll put it on their helmets. We'll have some PSAs. We'll form committee. Just please, God, stop them from kneeling during the national anthem. Please make that stop happening.
If that's the best, if that's the most vivid response.
That's the answer. That's been the answer. Among these, by the way,
you're probably right.
I'm sorry. Among these rich white guys that have these franchises, Shad Khan down in Jacksonville, my salute to you. But for all elements, you're pretty much a white guy. Sorry, but that's just how it is, even though you have a shitty franchise. They've decided that we had to quell this. And here's what we'll do. We'll throw a bone to these black guys who are millionaires who are playing for us. And we'll put like a sticker on their helmet. That's good on everybody, right? We're good with that? That's fine, right? That's essentially what happened in the past 2 years.
Well, correct? I'm not I'm not sure that the players are accepting of that as some kind of compensatory response for George Floyd. But yeah, if you're talking about we're really good at symbolism and bumper stickers and slogans and stuff, you know, we're on a podcast, Britt. That's what we do. It's what we are.
They got two franchises to change their name. That's what George Floyd's murder did, right? You got an NFL franchise and a Major League Baseball franchise to change their name. And then as I think bloat, it just seems to deteriorate as we get further and further away from the event, right? The effect of what happened, it looked like this is going to be a real sea change. A lot of people who were denying that black people were being killed by the police at exponentially higher rates than white people, they now had evidence. I still believe the photo of George Floyd in his dying moments is one of the most important photos I've ever seen in my lifetime. And I don't, it's hard to even imagine anything that's come around since then that's even nearly as important. Although some of the images out of the Ukraine have been maybe as impactful and as important as that. But yeah, I do think probably Charles Blow has a point that there's been a deterioration of effect. And as we've gotten 2 years away from it, we've kind of forgotten about some of the stuff that we were so passionate about in the summer of 2020.
Let's be real about this. What do you think the effect of 9/11 is now 21 years later?
Oh, yeah, no, forget it.
Come on. I mean, everything gets papered over and forgotten and spindled and mutilated. I mean, all we got now is the remnants of the Trump administration. Guys like Jared Kushner and Mnuchin continuing to pad their pockets with the relationships that they made while they were working for Donald Trump in the White House. I mean, that corruption story about those two guys in particular is so far off the charts. And does anybody even know about that story?
No.
Is anybody reading about it? Is anybody hearing about it?
No.
It's disappeared into the nether. That Steve Mnuchin and Jared Kushner made, I believe the number is 18 trips back and forth between Washington and the Arab countries during the 4 years. And if you go all the way back to, I believe, George H.W. Bush, the members of the cabinet made like a total of 5 trips, you know, over a 30-year period. And then while Trump was in office, these two clowns went over there to set up business relationships that they would bring to fruition after they left office to make millions, maybe billions, and it's worked. And so far, they're getting away with it. In other words, we've never had an administration as corrupt as the Trump administration. Worse than Nixon, way worse than Nixon. And so what do we know about corruption in the White House right now for at least much of the population that maybe doesn't think like we do? What about Hunter Biden's laptop? That's the corruption, right?
How's that going?
If I can just remind anyone that still cares, Hunter Biden was not in the administration. Mm. Hunter Biden was not a government official. Okay, he's a sleaze. He's apparently a drug addict. I mean, there's nothing particularly attractive about Hunter Biden, but that's the game. That's the game, and the game will get even more intense if in November Americans are so stupid as to think, my God, if we just had Republicans in charge of the two houses of Congress, this country would be so much better off. They'd know what price of gas would be back down to $2 pronto. They'd know what to do. They'd have all of our, there'd be more baby formula coming out of people's, you wouldn't know what to do. There'd be, these guys are that good. I'm voting Republican.
Right.
Because Joe Biden and the Democrats had control of both houses of Congress for 2 years, and they did nothing. The fact that they did quote unquote nothing, which isn't true, but whatever they didn't do was fully the result of 100% Republican intransigence and unwillingness to cooperate. What about Joe Manchin? Yeah, I know about Joe Manchin. Fuck you. Okay, he's one guy. Okay, if people are stupid enough, if the people who came out in 2018, because we have to compare it to that midterm election. Remember what happened? Yeah. Trump got his ass kicked.
Yeah, he did.
He got his ass kicked because people were. If the Democrats can marshal that kind of response in November, and the abortion decision is rocket propellant, if it is used correctly to motivate a lot of people, not exactly the same people, but many of them, to get you to understand that not only would you be voting for a party that tried to overthrow the government of the United States, but now wants to be in charge of it legally. Not only that, but this is the party that supports the passage of laws all over the country in many states that you know and love to tell women and doctors, you're going to prison. You're going to prison over the issue of abortion because we just don't like it. You know, I'm a 63-year-old car dealer here in Arkansas. I retired 10 years ago. They bought me out, walked away with about $30 million. I'm now a U.S. congressman. Mm-hmm. This is how I feel about women. And congratulations. We've got some things working for us. I know the governor of our state, he's going to get it done. And our legislature is gerrymandered up the ass Republican. And so all you women, fuck off. If the Democrats can't get that message out in an appropriate way, probably not the way I did it. They better not hire me.
That's a good way to go, I think. Yeah.
Then you know, we're in deep trouble because then you're going to find that a state, particularly Pennsylvania, is going to be the state, if God forbid, that Doug Mastriani guy became the governor, which I don't think that's going to happen. I think Josh Shapiro, the Democrat, is a great candidate. He's won statewide elections. He's very Roy Cooper-ish in terms of his trajectory, because Roy Cooper was Attorney General, I think, for three terms, right?
I think that's correct.
So here's Shapiro, well-known all over the state. And he should in this year be able to say to the women of Pennsylvania, some of the independent women and the folks who maybe drifted away in 2020, even though Biden won the state, it was close. And I don't know what happened in 2018 in Pennsylvania, but there is potential there. It, I don't think, is an automatic disaster painting that's going to be on the wall for Democrats. It's not automatic. And if I were Republican, I wouldn't say I'd have it in the bag either. Mm-hmm. They'd be stupid to think they've got anything. There's nothing in the bag, because the world can change in 12 hours, as we've seen.
It's true.
It does happen.
It does.
So, think about this. I'm trying to think. When the Supreme Court decision comes out on Roe v. Wade, as expected, and they overturn it, shut up. And it comes out, and it's a 5-4 decision. And this is thrown back to the states, and all these states start to do it. That's very likely going to be advantage Democrats. I think they've already polled this, and it's good for several points advantage for Democrats overall. Maybe not enough to overcome whatever huge numbers you're seeing right now. But what if, spitball this one out, what if Brett Kavanaugh fashions a decision that doesn't knock out Roe v. Wade as the conservatives expected it to, and finds a middle path that allows some of the legislation that's out there in some of the states to stand, but knocks down some of the most onerous parts of it, including about rape and incest? Does that then, I hate to even think this, does that backfire on Democrats and motivate Republicans to vote on the abortion issue as if it's still the last 40 years when you could get them to run out there all the time to save the babies?
I don't know.
I hate to think that, but anything's possible.